listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Good morning, New Chapel. How y'all doing today? Yeah, I'm excited about the last Sunday in 2020, and this is the fourth part in a series, but it's also a little bit more of a standalone message. We've preached about the real Jesus all month long, and this is a standalone called Real Truth. If you're watching online, I'm glad that you found us. Make sure you share this. And also, if you're in the room, if you have anything to take notes with, pull that out right now. We take notes. Why, church? We believe God is going to speak to us, and I'm excited about this message today. You know, as I was praying about this sermon, about bringing across the last message of a year, I imagined 20 years from now, 40 years from now, when my kids were rummaging through their dad's old sermons, and they stumble upon a banner year. Oh man, 2020, that was so crazy. What was dad preaching? And I just imagined, like, what would they think would be appropriate? What would be the best on such a crazy year? And then I begin thinking about just out of imagination, like if you had a grandfather, a great grandfather that pastored in Germany during World War II, and he was preaching, wouldn't you imagine that he'd mention something about the Holocaust, right? Like so much was going on in that season. It'd be weird if you stumbled across a sermon and it was about friends or something. Isn't there more going on in your culture? Or imagine maybe you have a great-great-grandfather that was in the Civil War as a preacher, and you stumbled across his sermons, and it was during the Civil War, and you're like, why wasn't he preaching about, like, freeing the slaves and the Underground Railroad and how we're going to have unity? Like, wouldn't it be weird if it wasn't that way? And so I thought about this message, and I thought, like, in this year, like, it's so important how we wrap this up, because I believe the way that that we put the bow on this year is the way that we're going to actually enter into the next one. The way that we close this one is so important. And so I imagine if you and I were to go to a coffee shop, you know, again, this is a stretch because you have to imagine that they're even open, but if we were to sit down and share a cup of coffee with one another, what would I be like? Man, I got to tell them this. And even more than that, if you were to sit down for a cup of coffee with the real Jesus, sit down with Jesus Christ, what would he try to convey to you? And guys, honestly, that's my heart for today. I want to give you what I believe God would try to tell you at the end of this year. Those last words, right? The last thing that I can share with you in the year 2020, in the month of December, what would be those last words, and how significant would that be? And guys, listen, honestly, God has a word for you. And this is so massive. I believe that there's destiny in this room. I believe that there's purpose in this room. And what I'm going to try to bring across to you, gang, is what I believe God would have me say in this last moment and as we go into a brand new year. Now, the first thing that I want to share with you is something that I shared during drive-in church. But if you know Pastor Joe, like, I love my slides. I love to, like, convey it to you. And some of us weren't there because of drive-in. Some of us are new to the church. And so I want to show you this progression of the last several decades in the change that we experienced. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but we've lost some things along the way. I'm going to start in the 1950s. Anybody alive in the 1950s, lift your hand. You are a relic. God bless you. Wow, this is really amazing. It's like an antique store, but at church. And in the 1950s, I believe, I'm messing with you guys, you're my people, believe me, we lost innocence. You know, Hollywood became the number one influencer of culture in the 1950s. And you might think, well, that wasn't that big of a deal. It was rebel without a cause, right? Well, look at what it's become in 2020, right? So, like, was Hollywood being the number one influence a good or bad thing? Well, it was bad. And there was things that we saw too much of that we hadn't seen before. We went too far. So in the 50s, we lost innocence. In the 1960s, we lost authority. This is where the statement, never trust anyone over 30, came from. You know what I'm talking about? And the 60s was just this disregard of authority in all of its forms. And grouped in with that was godly authority. This is where, like, the respect level for people in position just really began to disappear. At the end of the 60s and into the 70s, we lost love. 1970s was the decade of free love, right? No. In fact, one sociologist said that in search for real love, society settled for sex. And this is where we lost the real depth of love in a family and relationship. And it's pretty significant. In the 1980s, what did we lose? All sense of style. I'm sorry, just kidding. We lost our values. What was the number one movie in the 80s, right? It was Wall Street, Gordon Gekko, that Michael Douglas character. Like, we love that movie, but in that speech, he was giving this speech about greed is good, right? And surely, financially, we lost our values with that. And that's just a great picture of a lot of other areas where standards begin to really erode. Unless you think that this didn't affect the church, check tithing records before the 80s. Christians paid their tithes. It's just what they did. If you're a Christian, I'm going to pay my tithes. After the 80s, Christians tip. It just, that greed thing really choked people's hearts. In the 1990s, what did we lose? We lost faith. This is where we had to endure watching Columbine and the federal building in Oklahoma City get bombed. And there was a statistic. They asked this question throughout all of the modern decades. And they asked teenagers, do you think your future will be better than your parents? And it always had been yes until the 1990s. It was the first generation that the majority said, no, I don't think my life will be better than my parents' generation. And so they lost faith. It became a little bit hollowed out. And when there's no faith in the future, listen to me, New Chapel, there's no hope in the present. There's no power in the present. In the 2000s, what did we lose? We lost security. We started it with Y2K. Kaya's Uncle Roy was canning meat and hot dogs and guns, everybody. He wasn't canning the guns. He was stockpiling them and, like, planning for Y2K. Well, that didn't happen. And he was eating, like, canned hot dogs for a lot of years there. But beyond that, like, our fears were kind of validated, though, weren't they, with 9/11? And we had to experience that. Yeah, I grew up in a small town about an hour north of here. When I go to an airport, everyone is a terrorist to me, okay? Like, I'm a little bit country, like, everybody's out to get me. You know what I'm talking about? Well, that happened in that decade. We lost our security. This is where anxiety and fear and angst went through the roof. Prescription medication to ease the pain of anxiety went nuts. And this is actually really the origins of how marijuana became legalized. It's to try to help people with anxiety. And that's what went through the roof in the 2000s. In the 2010s, what did we lose? We lost truth. You have a screen in your hand that will feed you your version of truth. There are algorithms to really just muscle up to what you believe. You think something's right, Facebook, Twitter, Google will give you responses of what you think is right. Truth has become relative. We've seen too much. There's no awe. Truth is relative to each and every person. And now in 2020, after a worldwide pandemic and watching footage of stacked coffins and seeing people go through grievous poverty and isolation and awful things, it cemented what we lost in the last decade. And in 2020, here's what it feels like. It feels like a lot of people have lost hope. It feels like a lot of people are tired. It feels like a lot of Christians in the room are experiencing fatigue, tired from the battle, tired of trying to fight this thing. But listen to me, gang, I'm telling you, I believe we can walk back this process. Jesus is coming soon. And before Jesus comes back, there will be a worldwide revival, the likes of which the world has never seen. Yeah, give God praise. That's what we're waiting for. To do that, we don't need a church that has all these empty seats because of COVID. We don't need a church that has all the blemishes of the world on it, the fear and stank of the world on it. Jesus is coming back for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. He is coming back to a glorious bride, the Bible says. So my belief is when you see all these wild things happening, it is an incredible indicator that we can walk back these things. Now, that list of things, culture lost those things. Those things were never truly lost for the Christian that was following God. Love is a person. We didn't lose love. Love is a person. His name's Jesus. Truth is not relative. There is an absolute truth that doesn't change throughout the ages. Now, doesn't it stand to reason that when you'd read the Bible, sometimes when you're reading the Bible, you'd be like, I don't get it, or I don't even agree with it. There's times where I'm reading the Bible and I'm like, I wouldn't do it that way. But the God that stands outside of time and all of history, he has truth that is unchanging, goodness that never changes. In one culture, it might be like, well, why are they doing it that way? And it made perfect sense here. But the reality is, it's truth and it never changes. Facts change all the time. Truth never changes. Somebody say amen. I believe there's more. I believe that we can walk back those losses in the United States of America. I believe God's not done with our country. I believe we need a strong United States of America to fuel the worldwide revival. You know, it was the United States that funded the missions and missionaries all over the world that made the gospel explode in the last 150 years. And so, gang, our best days are ahead of us. There is destiny in this room, but we have to learn how to navigate this wild culture. Can I get an amen? Now, we're living in a time where things are moving so fast. It's hard to trek with everything that's happening. And it's impossible to be a Christian without being attacked. I was sharing something on my personal Facebook page, and I shared something to the effect of, hey, our doors are open. And it got a lot of shares on social media. And when that happens, I get notifications if somebody else liked that post. Does that make sense? And so one person commented on this person's post, and this person said, you know what I'm talking about, well, you should not be having church because the Bible says, and they quoted a scripture out of Romans that says that we should obey the governing authorities. And I politely commented back, and I said, well, that means that World War II never should have been fought, and the Holocaust, we should just stay out of it. And further, we never should have done that civil war. It was none of our business, and slavery was legal. And further than that, we shouldn't have been fighting that. We should have been, like, singing the Queen's English because we never should have fought a revolutionary war. See, friend, it's not saying that there can't be any civil disobedience. Every major Bible character practiced civil disobedience. They didn't crucify Jesus because he was agreeable. And so, with that being said, I commented in so many words that truth. And she said back, well, I don't want man's opinions, just scriptures. So I listed a whole bunch of scriptures that that felt so good, you clapping right there. I don't know why. I imagined you doing it when I was writing. Here's the whole idea. One of the things I said in there was you need a teacher. Because you're just going to be dangerous if you just start reading Bible verses and trying to piece it together yourself. You're going to read, Judas went and hung himself, now go and do likewise and put them together. Like, you need a pastor to help break down the word. And here's what I'm trying to say. You can't say anything without getting attacked. This person never went to Bible school. I was classically trained in these things. They gave me a lightsaber. I can float with my faith. Like, I'm a real deal, everybody. And everybody can say anything on social media. And what it's done is it's made people unhinged. People say crazy stuff on college campuses and in workplaces and cubicles that when I was growing up, they never said that stuff. They might have thought it. They might have said it to their friends and family. They might have said, who's the nut? You know, but like they never fight you on it. And so people are tired and people are shaken up. But listen, part of the shaking that you're feeling, part of the shaking that you're experiencing in this world is the fact that the kingdom of darkness is being shaken. You see, God is shaking the nations. If we're getting ready for Jesus to come back, things can't stay the way that they always have, and you're going to take some hits. The good news is there's no such thing as an unscarred champion. You want to get to the top of any team, you want to be a boxer, you want to be a UFC fighter, come on somebody, you're going to take some hits along the way. And that's okay. You might be shaken up a little bit, but you need to lean into it. Because what God is doing in his church is he's pruning the local church ultimately so that we produce more fruit. He's putting the true desire, not for cute church anymore, he's putting a true desire for the glory of God shown in our families, in our lives, in our churches. Amen, somebody? And to do that, there's some shaking. There's going to be some absences, some changes, some moving around because the pruning is happening and he is coming back for a pure bride. Somebody say amen. So in that, impurities are coming out, but also our true golden faith is coming out. And so what do we need to do? We need to position ourselves as the body of Christ to be able to take these hits, to be able to not just take them, but be victorious through them. Well, Pastor Joe, that's good. I'm a no-drama person. I'm a no-drama Christian. I don't want all that junk. I don't need a soapbox. I just want to live my life, do my thing, come in here, coffee one hand, wave at Jesus the other, get back to normal. I want normal more than anything else. Friend, I have really severe news. It will never be normal like it was again. You need to accept that. Number two, you don't want drama. My Bible says that if you're a born-again Christian, every single day you have to wake up and put on the armor of God. The reality is this, you are in a war. That's what's happening in this world and in this culture. You might not want it. That's fine. You didn't start this. It's knocking at your door. It wants to get into the lives of your teenager and your kids. It wants to change the culture of your marriage. It wants to redefine truths that have been sacred and settled throughout the ages. And so you need to realize this as well. Persecution is coming. And it's not so far off. I want to read for you out of Ephesians. If you have your Bibles, turn with me there to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to show you this in the Word. Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 12, this is what the Bible says. Our struggle, and there is one, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. You're not fighting against the people that you think you're fighting against. It's against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world. And gang, haven't we realized in 2020, it's dark and it's getting darker. Against spiritual forces of evil. One translation of this would say, we're in this battle of evil in this time. Can I put it this way? The camouflage is always changing. The attack of your enemy is always changing. It's always fluid. I want you to imagine if you're a bow hunter and you're in a deer blind, you got your bow out and you're getting ready to kill a deer. You're not killing deer. He's going after people. We would see that camouflage. So the fight is always changing. Evil presents itself in an ever-changing way, and the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy everybody. Write it down. This is the real meat and potatoes of today. God has truth for his followers. Why? To avoid deception. If I can put something into you today, is this heart, this toolkit, so that you as a born-again believer can avoid deception, avoid being deceived in this world, because there's real evil in this world. If I was to put on these screens some images from this year, how about this? How about this month or even Christmas Day this week? If I was to put some of the images, some of the awful things that have happened this year on the screen, you wouldn't just say, oh, well, that's just a result of bad decisions. You'd say, that's evil, right? You see, what Ephesians is trying to bring out is that though they're called rulers, authorities, powers of the dark world, we think of it as abstract. These are real personalities. These are real things. Jesus talked about Satan, not that he was an idea, that he was a real being, and he tries to dupe us. He tries to trick us. That shows me that the racial tensions that we face, the factions, the identities that we face, the financial ruin that we've seen, even world leaders trying to set themselves up in office all by themselves, these aren't just ideas. There are real demonic forces, real personalities that are behind all this junk. Do you see it? This is really happening. And I want you to see more than anything. Listen, we are in a war in the spiritual. Heaven is buzzing right now. It is in the air on earth. Things are popping, everybody. And we have to be aware of what's happening. Cute church is over. And it's become more obvious to Christians that we actually have something in this world that we have to push back against. We have to push back. We can't let everything that happens in our life just through our filter. You know what's so difficult is that we get feedback from all sources, but we have to pursue God's best. And my concern is that there's this fatigue in the body of Christ, and I understand because there's agendas getting pushed on you, everybody. There's bullies in this world that you say one little thing and they'll blow you up. You just got your job back from being furloughed. You don't want to say something because you don't want to get blacklisted and be the next on the chop. I understand the pressures, but we have to realize that we're about to experience the greatest revival the world has ever seen, that everything is coming to a head and the church needs to rise up. Say amen, somebody. Yeah, praise God. So Jesus gives this great dividing line in the Bible. The standard for theology is Jesus. And in John 10:10, he says, "The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And I have come," Jesus says, "I've come that you might have life and have it that more abundantly." It's very amazing how Jesus gifts us this be aware moment, that there is someone out there. The enemy has a plan, and the plan is to kill you. Listen to me, Christian. He is not going to compromise with you. There is no middle ground. He has to be defeated. That's how you deal with him. Well, man, let's compromise. Let's find something. There's no middle ground with him. There's no negotiation. There's no compromise with evil. He wants to kill you. What's halfway in between? Why do we think, and here's what happens. You're born again. You love the Lord. You're a good little Boy Scout, everybody. I'm so glad I wasn't raised a Christian because I had some fight in me by the time I accepted Christ. Some of y'all are such Boy Scouts that you want to compromise with the kingdom of darkness because you are a reasonable person. And you need to become aware today, the devil is not reasonable. He wants to kill you and everyone that you love. Write it down. Satan is trying to steal what you are created for. And you were created for a purpose. Created to make a difference. And he just wants to wipe all of that out. I like how Jesus calls him a thief. It's really to show you this is who he is. This is the key characteristic. He's a thief. Thieves never reveal themselves, do they? Here's a dad joke. You ready? Thieves are never going to go up and be like, hey, I'm the local thief in the neighborhood. You guys can stay, go to sleep, whatever you want to do. I got to get in here, get the stuff out. We got a U-Haul. I don't know if you want me to park it over here. I don't want to ruin your grass, though, because I'm going to wipe out everything that you own. Dad joke. Everybody give me snaps. Doesn't happen, though, does it? Thieves never announce themselves. Thieves are sneaky. Thieves come in through a back door. You don't see a thief coming. Oh, man, that guy was hiding out in his basement. Where'd he come? I don't understand. Thieves come from nowhere. You don't see a thief coming from a mile. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Got quiet in this Presbyterian church. My God. He wants to sneak into your life, and it's always with a purpose to steal from you, to rob you. Yep. Write it down. We are in a war. You need to be on guard. Stop going through the motions like you can afford to imagine you live in a world without an enemy. You're gonna have to gird up, buddy. You're gonna have to get some fight to you. If you're the man of the home, you better square up, everybody. Don't let your wife be put in the position to have to lead your home spiritually. Men, rise up. Why don't you pray? I like that this church has some men in it, and I wanna see more men in this church lead your home. Don't make her drag you to church. Drag her out of there. You know what I'm talking about? If your kids are asking you in the morning on Sunday, are we going to church? It's already too far. Are we going to church today? It's not even a question. We live there. That's exactly where we're going. Come on, somebody. Okay, we have to be on guard because we are in a real war. You know, with things like abortion, it used to not take any boldness at all to talk about that in a Christian evangelical church on a Sunday morning. But abortion's a real thing. 3,000 abortions a day, 50 million. Come on, somebody. That's happening. And I've been on Zoom calls this year with preachers and other pastors that say, listen, we got a little bit too political in November. Pull it back. We don't want to offend anybody. buddy, I am so past offending anybody. People are dying and we're allowing it to happen. When the enemy rises up, we ought to stand up to meet him in battle, everybody. Come on, somebody. You know, on social media, there's these trending topics. And if you're part of that first decade, the 50s, I'll explain it. You might not understand, but there's trending topics. And there's trending things by each hour. There's trending things on a day. There's trending things for a week. A couple weeks ago, there was this person named Harry Styles, who, as I understand it, is a boy band guy or something, some singer. And he wore a skirt, and it was trending for the entire week, the number three trending thing in the world. Now, you think about this year. You think about the hunger and the lack and the sickness, the disease, the hollowing out of a culture, schools closed, and this is the God of entertainment alive in your children's lives. The only thing that we can talk about is a dude wearing a skirt for a week. And then think about this. There's an HBO documentary that's coming out, and it's about gender transitions in young children. I never preach like this. You know what I'm talking about? Never. But we need to hear this today. Some of your first-time visitors are like, oh my gosh, Martha, we got to go back to the Baptist church quick. But listen, I was raised Baptist. You're already home. So HBO is having a documentary about gender transitions in young children. In the promotions, the producers said that we know that this will be the highest watched, highest consumed documentary that we've ever created. Guys, the enemy is trying to steal and kill and destroy you, your family, your children, your way of life. He's trying to evaporate it into thin air. You have an enemy. He's attacking you. Why are you just going, oh, God bless me, and I'm reading a new book about how to be a good friend. Get a life. You better get your armor on. We're at war, everybody. They're trying to steal a culture away. And the church has to stand for the standard of righteousness and truth. Can you hear why when I say, oh, Pastor Joe, I'm not a drama Christian, how that in reality is just you being lukewarm? Can you hear it now? The war that your kids are facing in public school. The things that are permissible there. They took the teeth away. Man, I tell you what, my God, if I got in trouble with my first grade teacher, it was worse when I went home. My dad would stand up even when she was wrong. Now parents will throw teachers under the bus so quick that they've taken the teeth away from teachers. Teachers can't correct kids. They're so afraid of doing that because they're going to get blown up, end up on a news helicopter circling their house. It is crazy. So there's my intro. Pastor Joe, where's Jesus in all of this? I'm glad you asked. We need him, don't we? I want to tell you a story about Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke's gospel. Jesus is facing a threat in culture. And to set up this passage I'm going to read for us, here's a little bit of the backstory. Jesus said about John the Baptist that there was no greater prophet than John the Baptist. There's none greater than him. Okay, John the Baptist is out there preaching, and Herod, who is the king in the area, has John the Baptist beheaded. Okay, why? He has John the Baptist beheaded because John was criticizing from the pulpit his moral character. He was criticizing the king. And so what does the king do? He goes in and he silences the word of God, beheads, right? He silences the word of God, okay? Now, something more about Herod that you should know. He's not a real king. He's not the real king of Israel. The rightful king of Israel through genealogy and spiritually was Jesus Christ. He should have been the king anointed. He was anointed for it. He should have been positionally seated as king over Israel. Herod was an imposter, okay? Can I put it this way? Herod was trying to seat himself in a spot of leadership that he had no business being in. Okay? Herod was trying to govern, so he's a governor that's exercising powers that he does not have. Does one sympathize? So, this political culture is trying to silence the word of God. Political correctness is chopping off the head of the man of God, silencing his word. Listen to me. There is that same evil spirit alive in our culture today trying to silence the word of God in this world. I'm talking about religious freedom, everybody. It's trying to shadow ban you. It's trying to take out your voice. And the church is facing a threat of political correctness, and the church needs to find the guts to stand up to this junk. I'm not talking about being hateful. Anything that's hard truth like this has to be coupled with love. But listen to me. My Jesus has not called me to make the discernment in between walking in love and walking in truth. I'll do both. And so we have to stand up to this junk in our world. We're bullied by political culture, PC culture, cancel culture, intimidation, harassment, offended outcry, and media suppression. If I go on a public social media platform and I say Jesus is the only way to the Father, without him you'll be saved, do you know that they can block that post? And further, they're already doing it through something called shadow ban. Anybody else notice all the people that were high-fiving you on social media are gone? And I'm not just talking about the ones that you unfollowed, okay? Where are they? You've been shadow banned. You post something, and you wondered why the unbelievers aren't even hearing it. That's why Facebook fights are largely fruitless, is because the unbelievers aren't hearing any of it at all. You're not correcting anybody. You're picking a fight with your own team. Right? Okay, so we have to realize that that would be shown as hate speech. These are not hidden things. These are things that are happening in culture right now, everybody. Okay, so Jesus is preaching and he's healing and he's ministering. John has been killed. So what happens in Luke 13, verse 31? At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." Pause for a second. What? The Pharisees all of a sudden are so concerned about Jesus' well-being. Verse 32, Jesus replies, "You go tell that fox." Fox was a dirty animal back then. "You go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today, tomorrow, and on that third day, I will reach my goal." I love Jesus. Everybody thinks Jesus, buddy Jesus, just all passive, some weird YouTube voice, I don't know. Like, Jesus was a man's man. Jesus is God in the flesh, right? And Jesus is the same Jesus that goes into the temple, sees everybody acting a fool, goes outside, takes the time, the Bible says, to fashion a whip. He made a whip. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, he makes a whip, goes back into church, woof, woof, whoops. That's a great day at New Chapel, everybody. I have a short list. Anyway, Jesus, who's patient enough to fashion a whip and clear out the place. Jesus, who is calling them names. He's casting shade on them. You go tell that fox. You look up what that meant in Bible times, and it's hilarious. It's hilarious what Jesus was saying. He's saying, "I'm not going anywhere." Notice the religious people. They're tightening up, right? In this room, religious people are tightening up because you hate messages like this. The people of God love it. You're leaning in. For some reason, this feels like, oh my gosh, there's other sane people in the world. You know what I'm saying? It's life-giving to you. It's life, right? Religious people are like, ah. He says, "You go tell that fox that I'm going to keep on praying for the sick. I'm going to keep on believing for signs and wonders and miracles. I'm going to keep on trusting God." Amen, somebody? And that PC spirit, it's amazing. It knew it could count on manipulating religious people. It could go to the religious people and mess them up. It tried to get the Pharisees to push Jesus around as though they were helping him. And this PC spirit that tried to push him out of town, it's the same thing that's happening in our country today, trying to push Jesus out of everything. And we need to be a church who knows how to respond to the threats of political correctness in our world. Can I get an amen? How do we do it, Pastor Joe? I'm so glad y'all asked. You keep on setting me up so well. Matthew 23, words of Jesus. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees." Come on, church people. "Woe to you, you hypocrites. You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves don't come, nor will you let those who are trying to." Can I put it this way? Woe to you, church leaders, who are shutting the doors of your churches. there's people that are trying to come in. There's people that need this light in the dark world, and the lights of the church aren't on right now. Amen. What? He is saying this, woe to you who try to govern the move of God. Write it down, Christian. Never, never stand in the way of what God is trying to work in your life. That can be in your family, in your government. Don't you shut things down when God is trying to do a work in this world. God have mercy on the person that tries to shut those doors. You hear what I just said? That is for church leaders and any government official that would stand against the oracles of God. Our laws supersede your laws. Hallelujah. The same spirit that tried to control Jesus is trying to do it today. I'm trying to tell you, church, the temperature of the time that you live in. Don't be deceived and think that you can just get back to normal. The normal, there's a new normal. Now, we can have joy and peace like you can't imagine. We can take ground like we never did before. We can turn back the tide on this whole world. But listen to me, it's going to come as a battle. That's the form. And there's a spirit that's trying to silence the body of Christ. In this story, John the Baptist, he's the prophetic word, the voice of God. Jesus is the way, he's salvation, and the politically correct spirit wanted none of it. That's exactly what happened. And while I'm on it, woke is not their concept. It is ours. And I say it to you by prophecy today. Awake, O sleeper. You better wake up. Open your eyes to what your God is doing in your family, in your life, and in your world. This is the first time since Constantine that churches worldwide have closed their doors. Open your eyes. The enemy is sitting back, sipping a drink in delight, and the church of Jesus Christ needs to rise up. Amen. Not to be specific, but how many places that have the harvest are closed or proclaim God's resurrection are closed? The doors are closed. The lights are off. And I'm discouraged that we have a whole culture of young people and even people that are families that believe that church is a TV show. Guys, it's not. It doesn't work that way. And I've heard some pastors, people that I really had a lot of respect for before this happened. And they say, well, the data's good and the numbers are all right and our online engagement matrix is fine and giving's good. We're still making budget. No. The Lord that called you into ministry as a man or woman of God has not called you to make budget. We are called to be the light of the world, to put our arms around a sick and hurting humanity. That's the call of the men of God. We have to stand up in this season, gang. When Jesus founded his church, he told his church to go gather in an upper room. You go gather there. And when the Holy Spirit comes, right, you're going to lay your hands on the sick and they're going to recover. How do you lay your hands on somebody? Through a screen. Come on, somebody. We are called to gather as the church of Jesus Christ, ecclesia, that old ancient tribal word of the church literally means the gathering. That's our calling. That's who we are. I suppose we could try in this room to have online dinner and we all look like the Brady Bunch. We're eating our mac and cheese and we're all staring at each other and I suppose when it was done, you could say, hey, we talked, it worked, I ate. But is it the same? Think about this. What about watching a baby be born? I know some people have been in the military or maybe just an oopsum. Oh my gosh, here's the baby. And they've had to watch it through an iPhone. But you just imagine watching your spouse give birth and it was awesome. We had moments. We made memories. But is it the same? How about a wedding? Anybody else wonder why women just look incredible at a wedding and the guy's like, can you shave right? I mean, come on. Did you just wake up? Okay, so let's solve it. Let's have a little iPad on a stand. She's looking gorgeous and you're getting married with an iPad. Can it work? Yeah, we got married. Is it the same? Ain't gonna have any kids. But beyond that, everybody, it's different. It's not the same. The church is called to gather. Somebody say amen. And the enemy is tricky and deceiving. He is sneaking. It'll sound smart. It'll sound safe. Let's just take a two-week pause. Well, that ends up becoming months and months and months. You turn down the temperature on your faith. You get lukewarm in your following of God. That's not what we're called to do. What did Jesus say? You go tell those foxes. You go tell him exactly what I'm going to do. Go. That's how we end our services, right? As you go, right? God's about going. Go is mentioned 1,542 times, if you want to look that up in your New Testament. The word stay is mentioned 62 times. The word stay, stagnant, lukewarm, passive, unproductive, dormant, in a word, to pause. God is not about pausing. God is about going, right? Go into all the world and preach the good news to every creation. You go lay hands on the sick. Come on, somebody. God is about going into this world. Well, that's controversial, Pastor Joe. That's really dramatic. You know what? Sometimes it is. I thank God when I read the drama of the New Testament, when the early church is facing certain death and they still chose to go. I'm glad they did, because you're living out a church that Paul largely planted throughout the old country and then came over into this. You're living in the remnants of people that risked their neck for this thing. So sometimes it is, but it's worth it. God is worth it. Think about Abram. You might know him as Abraham, Father Abraham. I'm a son of his, so are you. Come on, somebody. Anybody raised in Baptist church, give me some snaps. You know what I'm talking about? I got you. God called Abram out of a land that he lived in where he was very successful. And he actually called him out of that land. He said, go to a land I will show you, and you and your family will be blessed. Your descendants will outnumber the sand of a seashore. Now think about that. He's calling Abram in a famine, can I put it this way? In a time of uncertainty, to go and follow him, follow God in a time of uncertainty. And here's the cool thing. He says, you and your family are going to be blessed. At that time in Abram's story, he had no children. His ultimate destiny relied on him obeying God in a time of uncertainty and following him. Ultimately, it led to an Isaac. It ultimately then led to generations later, 12 brothers forming 12 tribes of Israel, Joseph and Dan and the Levites. You don't talk about everybody? That's why when I was growing up, I'm singing about Father Abraham, is because the church of Jesus Christ was grafted into the family of God, because one guy, Abram, followed God, made covenant with him, and that made provision for Christ to be sacrificed on a mountain in our place. His destiny relied on it. Write it down. Obedience to God's go will always triumph over the world's pause. Obedience opens up God's best for your destiny. And there are parts of your destiny, your calling, your prevailing purpose in life that you will never realize sitting on your hands. As much belief as you have in Jesus, you may share heaven with Jesus, but you won't see the glory of God in your life on earth. Obey God, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult. And so they told Jesus, you better pause, you better stop preaching, or they're gonna kill you. And they may not necessarily say that in your lifetime, that they're gonna kill you, but they may say, or I'll fine you. The church in China, whose governmental system is trying to affect ours and bring our United States into an ungodly and wicked form of commerce. Let me just be very honest and straight with you about that. It's idolatry. Do you know why they have to suppress Christianity and not other religions in China? Because we're the true and living God. And when you have your faith in the government to meet all of your needs, there's not room enough to serve God and mammon. And that's why there's godlessness trying to come into our country and change our system of commerce, is so that people put their faith in government for their health and their sustenance in this world. Wow. But in China today, if you preach, there's fines, and they can rack up so much of missions dollars that go to China pay for the fines, because they're willingly disobeying the government to have church. And so they pay fines. Well, that's well and good, but it costs a lot of money to preach the gospel in China. They may charge you. It may cost you a job promotion. They may put me on some list as some sort of hate preacher, which I am not. I am the love of God and the truth of God all together in one happy, smiley little dago. Good looking too. Humble. Stop laughing, Manny. You know, they might take away our 501c3. You know what I say? Take it. I have to answer to God. I'm not going to answer to the government when I go into eternity. I'm going to stand before the living God, and so will they. And so there might be a threat on your life. The whole point of this message, write this down, make the decision, is you jump into 2021 to stand up. Awake, O sleeper. Open your eyes. It's not going back to the old normal. It's going to be a new normal. I think it's going to be better, but it's going to be better because we made it better. You better stand up and stop letting people trample you in the name of the love of God. You know they tried to kill Jesus over and over and over again when he was alive, over and over again. If he wouldn't have laid his life down on the cross, he'd still be alive today because the law on sin and death was never on his life. There was one time they tried to push him over a cliff. Do you remember what happened? They tried to push him over a cliff, and the Bible says in classic understatement that he just walked through the midst of them. What does that mean? I don't know if he became like invisible man and just went through. I don't know if he changed his face. I don't know if they pushed another guy and he just went like, yikes, they didn't notice. You know, I have no idea. Wile E. Coyote died. You know, it's scriptural. But they tried to kill Jesus over and over and over and over, but death had no hold on his life. You understand what I'm saying? And so we have to understand as we go into this world that we have to stand up for Jesus and his truth. We have one job, one assignment from heaven, and that is to seek God first, his way, his truth. You can't find your identity in being a Republican, in being a Democrat, in your race, in your education, in your upbringing, in your background. You have to find your identity in Jesus Christ. Say amen. And so what do we seek? Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does that mean? His way of doing and being right, his truth. You seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are gonna be added to you. You guys are afraid, oh man, I'm not gonna get the promotion. God can take care of you. What makes you think you need the promotion for God to send more resource your way? What's your source? You seek him first, he takes care of you. And it's all found in his righteousness, his truth. And there is freedom in that like you can't imagine. John 8:32, you will then know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Paul is sitting in jail writing Philippians, and he's free, although he's in jail because he's walking in the truth. You can go through awful situations. I've preached this year that this has been the best year of my life in a couple years. It's been a real year of resurrection in my life. But Pastor Joe, all the bad things, yeah, that, and I lost my dad. And there were some hard things about this. I had the best year in a long time. You know why? I am in resurrection mode. We've learned how to handle a bad day. We've learned God's truth. Why is Pastor Brian and Naya having their best year? It's because we've pursued God in the midst of a hard time, and we've prevailed in the midst of a famine. We've prevailed in the midst of uncertainty. And you can do the same thing. It's God's truth. And so in my last words to you in 2020, I don't want you to look back at this year and think about COVID and think about your lost job and poverty and death and government overreach and this weird battle that's happening, this cold civil war in our country. And I don't want you to think about that. When you look back at 2020, I want you to look back and say, that was the year that the church stood up. That was the year where this went from being something I just believed in to a person I believed on. This is when our family switched from just being Christians that hid Easter eggs and put up a tree to being warriors for Jesus that showed the love of God wherever we went. I want you to look back at this year as the pivotal changing point of your life. There was some wicked person that said, let this moment radicalize you. I'm going to flip the script like Christians have done throughout the centuries. Remember when they called us Christians to mock us and then we owned it? Let this moment radicalize you. Stand up, Christian. Awake, O sleeper. God is on the throne. Your Jesus is coming back on a white horse. We're going to see the greatest revival the world has ever seen. Big harvest. We need more hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray for these people. Lord, I pray against the deception of the world. I pray that young Christians, baby Christians, and the deceived in the sound of my voice, God, that you would challenge them right now to side with the word of God and to abandon the world's way of doing things, to truly be transformed by the renewing of their mind. God, right now, I pray against lies in this room of addiction. I pray against addiction. We break the back of addiction on your life right now. God, right now, we pray against the spirit of insecurity. There's several young ladies in the room, and you have an insecurity on you that's not psychological, it's spiritual, where you're living your life at the permission of other people. God wants to break the back of insecurity off your life right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, there's people in this room walking in unforgiveness. We've got work to do. They have no time to walk with that baggage of the past. They've got to forgive dad. They've got to forgive that person that abused, took advantage, that stole money from them, did a crooked business deal. God, I pray right now that Christians in the sound of my voice would forgive and not be deceived into thinking they can hold that unforgiveness in their life with impunity. To hold unforgiveness will cause sickness and disease in your life. Be free. God, I pray that we could stand against every lie that tries to exalt itself above your throne. Right now at New Chapel in Grand Rapids, Michigan, we make the decision, Lord, to stand in your truth and in your right way of doing things. God, we submit our hearts and our minds to you. Send the harvest. God, if there's anyone in the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, help me to find them. In Jesus' name, heads bowed and eyes closed. If you don't know God, the only way to have a relationship with him is through his only son, Jesus. Jesus came and lived a sinless life. He died in your place. And when you make him Lord over your life, Lord means boss. It means you're relenting control. You're not such a good boss over your own life. When you make him Lord, the Bible says you'll be saved. That's eternal life, avoiding a Christless hell. But more than that, the peace, the hope, the joy that you're looking for in this dark, dark world, it can come into your heart and into your life today, the moment that you give your life to him. And so we're gonna pray. If you mean this prayer, sincerely mean it, you'll be saved. You'll experience that joy. Christians, I want you to say it as a declaration of your faith because you've prayed this before. When you met the real Jesus. Heads bowed, eyes closed, pray this out loud with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross in my place for my sins so I can be forgiven. You raised him from the dead. This I believe. So with my heart and with these words, I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord. I surrender now. Jesus, I call on you. Come into my life. Forgive my sins. Put your spirit within me. I receive all of what you have for me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making all things new. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give it up for those people that accepted Christ. Proud of you. Wow. If you did pray that prayer, I want you to take a bold next step. I'm not gonna call you down to the front. I'm not gonna do that. There's public things we do like baptism. This is between you and God. But listen, I wanna connect with you. And the best way to do that is if you go to newchapel.com, that top or bottom that says connect with us, let me know about the decision that you made, about the prayer you prayed. I wanna send you a note talking about next steps in your faith. You need to get baptized. You need to find a group of people, community, Christian community. You need to be part of a local church. I'm partial to this one. Doesn't have to be this one, but we want to send you that information because on Monday morning, you're going to wake up and be like, that message was nuts. What did I do? And I want to give you next steps in the faith that God has called you into. We are proud of you. And if you came with somebody that prayed that prayer, or if you're watching online, encourage those people to fill that out and let us know. I want to pray for you personally over the next several days. Church, can we give it up one more time for those people that accepted Christ? Proud of you. Stand up, gang. Last message of the year. Did you get anything out of it?
Yes.
That was a little bit severe for Pastor Joe, but I think it was full of love, and it was. I love you. I love your families. Kai and I walk our house praying for you, crying, believing God for you to be able to prevail through this year. My belief is this, that our best days are ahead of us. And together, we're going to make a big influence for Jesus. Don't mix next week. Everybody say, next week. Our series start here. If you don't know where to start, you're welcome, everybody. Jump in. Grab one of those planners. New Chapel Connect Part 2 is right after church today. If you need prayer for anything, we're going to be down at the front. I don't have cooties. I'd love to pray for you and agree with you on the Word of God. Let me pray for you real quick. Would you lift your hands for the blessing, the last one of the year? May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Give you the peace that passes all understanding. God, let hope arise in people's hearts. God, let this be the moment where they leave this place as a church empowered that have stood up for the cause of Christ. God, I pray that you anoint the next year, 2021, as the year of the local church. Church in Grand Rapids. Let Christ arise, Maranatha. And as you go, you're dismissed. Have an awesome weekend.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.